For in my Father there are many, many rooms. King James says that they are mansions. They are mansions. That means that there will not be enough time for us on this planet to understand the depths of who God is, because each room gives us a dimension of who He is. A dimension. There are mansions, one on the other, on the other, on the other, giving us a glimpse of who He is. And in this morning, we're going to go to another dimension. Are you ready, church? A dimension of Him. A dimension. I want us to go from one place to another. God is a God of dimensions. He goes from glory to glory, from faith to faith. But we reach a level where we think that's the supreme level. And we get stuck in a status quo. But I want us to go to a place in this morning. A place of intimacy. Can we do that, church? Can we preach a little bit about intimacy? I'm going to be 20 minutes. So if you're not going to open your ears, you're going to miss this. Are you ready?
Yes.
Just take your seat. Take your seat. We're just starting. Prophetess started with the rooms yesterday, and she spoke about the different rooms in the house. Because the Father said, or Jesus said, that I'm going to my Father to prepare for you a place. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. He says that if this was not so, I will tell you. Why did He say that? That's just weird. This is, if I tell Martin something, I said, "Das nie kos nie, yskas nie." And then I say, if it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. Because He wants to stress the importance of this. There are many rooms. And the problem is that we get stuck in a room. And we get so busy. We get so busy that we get complacent. I get complacent just to work in the kitchen. How many of you love cleaning the church? It's my favorite thing to do. I love it. Martin says that he's married to me and the vacuum cleaner. It's the best thing ever to vacuum this church. The problem is that we will miss a dimension of God if we do not move to a different level, to a different room. Are you with me? And I want you, and I want some expectant people. I want to bring a hunger into your heart that when you go home, you're going to say that I cannot wait. I can remember when we just got saved. I would be in school. We will be in school, and I will have such a yearning for God. I will have such a pain, physical pain on my chest, because I cannot wait to meet with Him. I cannot wait to have intimacy with Him. I cannot wait to be with Him. I will write God letters and say that I will meet you later. And I want to bring that hunger back. And I want to show you what has kept us from that intimacy. What has kept us from God's face? Because that is His desire. His desire is to have a face-to-face encounter with each and every one of you. Doesn't matter if you are at the door, if you're just sitting here, if you're cleaning the kitchen, if you're the pastor, or you are working in the e-cafe. Jesus wants a face-to-face encounter with you. And I want to set you up for that already. I want to set you up. There's nothing more satisfying than having a face-to-face encounter with Him. Are you with me? The problem is that we get so complacent where we are that God has to dial down a little bit of Him so that He can meet our expectation. Can I just take your expectation to another level? I want, you know what happens is that I didn't prepare a 3-point sermon. We can do that on Sunday. It's not Sunday today. Okay. Are you guys okay with that? I'm usually a bullet point person, but this morning I'm not going to be a bullet point person. I'm just going to give you some random things. I just want to throw out some things there. Just grab it. Can we do that?
Yes.
Pastor Martin can give us a 3-point sermon with all his notes color-coded. The problem is that we know this verse. This verse says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. We are so scared that when we wait, that He will not come. And that's why we don't want to wait. Because what if He doesn't peach? What if Jesus Christ, the one that I long for, doesn't peach? What if He doesn't come? What if I go into my inner room with this expectation and He never pitches up? Have you ever felt like that? Can I change your expectation a little bit from the flesh to the spirit? Those who wait. Remember we spoke about some laws. That's a law. That's a law. That's a covenant. That is a covenant that He made. It's not just a promise. It's a covenant that He says, those who wait will receive their strength. Can we wait a little bit on Him? It's a spiritual place, and we're going to go a little bit to a spiritual place. Revelations 4:1. Just put that up, Steph, if you can put that up for me. This is what John saw. So John is on the island, and suddenly he has a vision, and he sees this. He says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. A dimension just opened for John. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up higher. He says, Jesus Christ opening a door to a dimension that will show him things to come, things that John has not seen, things that he is not familiar with. He's walked with him for very long, but suddenly God said, I'm going to open another door, another dimension. Jesus Christ standing at the door, speaking to him. And this morning, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is going to open a door to you. That's going to open a dimension to a room that you have not seen. Because the word intimacy, we know it, but it's so foreign. It's an experience that we are not familiar with. Because in our physical life, that word has been traumatized. It's caused trauma. But I want to start shifting that. And I pray that God will make a shift and bring a shift to what you might have experienced in the physical life and change that to a new dimension. Paul says, I know whom I believed in. I know. And I want to ask you that question. Do you know Him? Do you know the one that you believe in? Do you know the one that you call Christ? Do you know Him? That word know means yada. It means, do you know Him by experience? Do you know Him by experience? That is what Paul is saying, that I know the one that I have believed in. I had an encounter with Him already. And that's why I'm standing here in front of you, Paul says. And I can bring you a word because I know the one that is backing me up. I want to ask you that question. Do you know the one that you believed in? Do you know the one that you call Lord? Do you know Him by experience? Do you know Him from a dimension that we call intimacy? I'm just going to give you guys random things. Is that all right? Because God pours out His presence. He pours out His manifest presence on hunger. On people that say that I am hungry for Him. So much that if He doesn't pitch up, I'm going to die. I was so hungry when I was sitting there in the school. I was so hungry for him that I would think, if you do not pitch up, if you do not wait for me already when I come there, I will die. The problem is that we pursue his omniscience and the presence that we feel in a congregation, and we pursue that. We come into this place and there's anointing already in this room. There's anointing because when one or two gathers, there he is. So his anointing is here because you are here. But you cannot only pursue that. You have to pursue his manifest presence. Can I tell you what anointing does? The anointing changes your flesh so that it will sound nice to them. Are you with me? The anointing comes so that when we preach, it will sound nice to you. But his manifest presence comes so that it can deal with the flesh, so that the King can be glorified, so that I will smell great to the King. And all we do is we pursue the anointing. The anointing, so that when we take a mic, it will sound great. That when we speak to people, it will sound great. That when we pray for people, there will be miracles, there will be wonders, that people will be set free. But I want to bring a new dimension, a dimension of intimacy, a dimension where you only find him. And that is his manifest presence. His manifest presence. Because that deals with the flesh. So that when I come into the chamber of the King, that I will smell great for the King. Are you with me? I want to change your mind from you to the King, because who are you going to find in the chamber? Who are you going to find in the chamber? You're only going to find the King. If you're going to walk in there with all the things that you bring with, he's not going to pitch up. He's not going to open that door of dimension that you need him to open for you. Because prophetess already spoke about the other rooms. If you are going to get stuck in the toilet, that's where you're going to be cleansed. That's where repentance will come. Can I tell you what is the way into the chamber? John the Baptist cried out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the King. And he said, repent, repent, repent. For that is how we prepare the way for the King. That is how we prepare the way for the King, is a brokenness, is a humbleness that comes in. Because Esther took a year to prepare for the King. One night with the King. 1 year. She prepared herself for 1 year to have one moment with him. One moment. I want to challenge you, and I want to ask you, are you ready to go into the chamber where the King of Kings is ready to meet with you? Because it's going to take some preparation. It's going to take some hungry people. It's going to say, and it's going to take a nation and a generation that says that I'm so hungry for the King that I lay myself down. I've already spent time in the bathroom. I've already spent time in the kitchen. I've already spent time in his wisdom. I've already spent time in the study. But the problem is that we are satisfied just only with the word, and we are satisfied and lived our lives only by the prophetic word that goes out. But we should live our lives by the intimacy with the King, by his manifest presence. All we pursue is a prophecy. And this is a prophetic house. This is a prophetic house. But we get stuck in that. Every little thing, every inbox message that this church gets, one after the other after the other, we get almost 1,000 messages within 2 hours of people wanting a prophecy. A prophecy will not change your life if you do not understand the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to tell you that you need to go for the King. For the King. And we understand prophecy, and we understand that, and we teach upon it, and this is a prophetic house. And we know that prophecy changes things. But what I'm talking about is a desperation for Jesus Christ. A desperation for him and him alone. Not just for a prophetic word. Why? Because when I am in pursuit of the King, it's going to cost me my life. If I'm in pursuit of a prophecy, there's nothing that I'm doing. Someone else is hearing from God, giving me a word. But when I pursue the King of Kings, and when I want intimacy with the King of Kings, it's going to cost me something. That's why so many people are still just stuck. Because it's easy to take a vacuum cleaner and clean the church. But it is so difficult to die. Because when you come into the chamber, all you find is Him. And when you come into the chamber to have intimacy, you are naked. There is nothing left of you. Nothing. I cannot have intimacy if I bring all the baggage. I cannot have intimacy if I have all my clothes on. That is just some version. I can have sex with anyone. I can walk out on the street and have sex with anyone, but I cannot have intimacy with everyone. I want to change your mind to a dimension of just pleasure, of just you, to Him. Are you still with me? I want you to go for His manifest presence. I want to say that again. I want you to go for His manifest presence. If your hunger is going to be shallow, your experience will be shallow. Because the Bible says deep cries unto deep. I'm going to say that again. Deep cries unto deep. So your expectation, your experience, your hunger must be deep. Jesus Christ is on a donkey and He's coming in to Jerusalem. And the priest is in the temple of Herod. And Jesus passed by and there's such a big noise. And one of the guys runs out. I'm paraphrasing, this is my version. One of the guys run out and say, "Why are you making such a noise? We are busy with God's stuff inside the temple. The priest is trying to do his duty. But the Messiah just passed by. And the priest that was busy in the kitchen didn't even know his time of visitation. Because the king was ready to meet a nation." Can I read you something? Songs of Solomon 5 verse 2. I'm going to read it just, Steph, you don't have to put it up. I want you guys just give me 1 minute. "I sleep, but my heart is awake. It is the voice of my beloved. He knocks saying, 'Open for me, sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. For my head is covered with dew, my locks with the drops of the night.'" So the beloved is coming and the beloved is standing at the door. And the beloved is knocking. And this is what she says. This is how she responds. She says, "I've taken off my robe. How can I put it on again? I have washed my feet. How can I defile them? My beloved puts his hand by the latch of the door, and my heart yearns for him. I arose to open for my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh. My finger with liquid myrrh on the handle of the lock. I opened for my beloved, but my beloved is not there." Because he came, but I didn't want to die in myself. It was too much of an effort to go and put up my clothes, to go out and open for him. And when I opened for him, only the residue was there. It was the only evidence that he came, was his smell that still lingered. But I missed him. I missed him. Are you with me? I want you to give you this verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says this: "If my people, which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. It's his people. Are you with me? If my people. So he's calling them to a new dimension. It's his people. He knows them. But he says that if they are called by me, if they're going to humble themselves and pray and go to a new dimension, what dimension is that? It is my face. It's a level. It's a level that he says, I need you to seek my face. You are my people. I know you. You know me. We go to church every Sunday, but I want to take you to a new dimension and a new place in me. He says, humble yourself, and when you die, I'm going to show you my face. We are satisfied only to be guided by the word, or only to be guided by prophecy. But we are not satisfied to be guided by the emotions that is on his face. Because when Martin sits here and I do something with my face, let's say rather Gerard, and I just lift my eyebrow, he knows exactly what I need. He does. And God says that, you have only sought my word, or you have only sought my hand. But I want to bring you to a dimension, my people who have been called by my name. I want to bring you to a dimension that you will be guided and you will know my face. That when you look at me, you will see the emotion and you will know where to go. That is manifest presence. David wasn't going for the gold box. He was going for the flame that was on the altar when he brought it back into the city. But he said, I don't want the box. I want that blue flame. I want something that I can touch, something that is God. Intimacy will bring you a blessing, but the pursuit of a blessing won't always bring you intimacy. Moses was so exposed to the glory. When he came down the mountain, everything that was on him was shining, and the people were afraid, and he was just had to cover his face. Because whatever is exposed to the manifest presence of God begins to absorb that very matter. It's a dimension that he says that you can find only in intimacy. You will not find that dimension of him anywhere else. Esther had to prepare 1 year to find that dimension. I hope that you hear me now. Esther had to prepare 1 year for a dimension of the king. But we want to rush it. We want to run into the bedroom and we want to tell him, I need this, da 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 da. But he says, wait. Wait until the bridegroom comes. Don't get into your pajamas and when I come, you're too lazy to get dressed to open for me. Are you with me? I want to encourage you to go for his presence. Because the anointing is just the beginning. The anointing will get you ready for intimacy. You know, we get so excited and we dance, and I know that Pastor Martin spoke about this, the veil that is torn. He spoke about this on Sunday, but we get so excited and we dance in front of this chamber, and we're so excited and there's anointing, but we never consummate that ever. We never go in. We never consummate the process because we never go in. We rather dance outside the door because it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us something. This is what he said to Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do the things also that you have spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. And I know thee by name, and has said, I beseech thee, show me your glory. And he said, They can't see my face, for they shall no man see and live. What was God saying? God was saying that I want to open a dimension where I can have a face-to-face encounter with you. But he says that dead man cannot see my, or only dead man can see my face. Only when you go into a dimension where there's nothing of you left, you will be able to see the emotions on my face. I want to ask you, are you a dead man walking? When people are going to be executed and they walk through a passage, the officer usually cries and then he says, dead man walking. So that everybody else can know that this is the last minutes of that guy's life. And then they're usually quiet just to have some respect. There's a connection. I want you to write this down. There's a connection between the glory and our death. Because Moses was asking for the glory and God said, you cannot see my face if you're not dead. Because only dead people can see my face. Because Moses was pressing it, and he wanted to see his face. But we want to go for the toys. We want to go for the nice things. We want to go for the anointing, and we want to go and pray for everybody else and feel the goosebumps and the rukabiki and fall and roll. And then we think that we have had intimacy with him. But there's a different dimension that he says that it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something to have an intimate relationship with me. It's going to cost you something so that I can stand at the door. Because that door is open, but John had to come up. When John fell at his feet, the Bible says when John looked up, he saw this vision. And he saw Jesus Christ standing and opening a door and saying, come up higher. But that come up higher, he didn't know that it's going to cost his life. Because the Bible says that he fell at his feet, though dead. Because John already knew him. He walked with Jesus three years. He was 15 years old when he met Jesus. Everything that he knows, Jesus taught him. He was the guy that put his head on his chest. He was there when Jesus walked and stopped the funeral and raised a boy and gave him back to the mother. He knew the things. He was in the inner chamber. He knew the things. He knew his heart. But yet, when God wanted to show him a dimension, he said, you can only see this dimension when you are dead, John. And he fell at his feet, though dead, says the Bible. Because when you come into that chamber, there should be a smell of death. There should be a smell of death. And there are so many people that cry and outside the chamber. And that's where they remain. They don't understand why God doesn't want to touch them or why they don't have encounters with him. I want to tell you that that veil is torn. That means that any one of you can enter into that room. But it's going to cost you something. No, I'm not going to come to church. AM and PM, kan jy dit indink? You know what's so significant about this is Moses was so adamant to see his glory. He was so adamant to see his glory. And that prayer went out for another 1,500 years. And God said, because that prayer was so, that you were so desperate to see my glory. He went up the mountain with three of his disciples. And he showed him, or them, his glory. But he brought Moses down because of the prayer and the desperation that he prayed 1,000 years before. And he said that I will still meet that prayer. Now I want to ask you this. How long will you wait? Moses waited 1,500 years for that promise to come through. Are you willing to wait? I'm almost done. I'm going to speak about a hall of fame. Remember that prophet spoke about the passage that you walk through to up until you get to the bed chamber. Are you with me? You guys are looking at me if I'm funny. Are you guys okay? You guys have some demons? All right. I'm just joking. So you walk in this hall before you get to the chamber. And all that you see is pictures of people that died and gave their lives for intimacy. And I wanna tell you about one. Do you also have a hall or a passage where you have photos? When I get into people's houses, they have photos of themselves and what they've done. There's a hall in the house. It's a house with some pictures of some people that gave their life, that died, that paid the price for intimacy. And there's one of them that died a death that not even the disciples had this type of intimacy. And Jesus accounted it as a memorial in the book. As a memorial for us to understand and know what it means. And in those days, the woman will wear the hair up. Kijk, dit almal se hare is op voordat ek nou iets sê. They will wear the hair up and then they will put a veil over it just as they go into public. And Jesus is at a party with these 12 disciples at Simon's house. And he just walked far and there is some cow dung on his feet. And that is a reality because that is what they all use those roads. The donkey, the people, everybody was walking there with sandals. And when a guest comes in, you wash their feet. And that usually is only for the servant or reserved. That function is reserved for the servant that is the lowest of the low in the house. And this woman comes and she dismantles her hair. The Bible says that your hair is your glory. And she dismantles her hair and she washed the feet of Jesus with her glory. And not even the 12 disciples at that moment had the opportunity to have the intimacy with Jesus. They are still fighting who's going to sit on the left or who's going to sit on the right. They even get their mom to fight it for them. But this woman comes and she dismantles her glory. And she has no say in that house, so she cannot ask for a towel. She cannot ask for a towel or for a bucket. Because she is a prostitute. And she takes the only thing that she has, her glory. And she empties herself. And Jesus says that this is worship. Because they said it's a waste. The disciples said this is a waste. And Jesus corrected them. And he said this is worship. That when you get to a point where you dismantle yourself, when you take your glory and you wash the feet of Jesus. Are you still with me? This same woman. This made such an impact on Jesus that this same woman was crying at his tomb. And she's crying, and Jesus Christ just died. He just rose. And he's about to put his first foot on the first step of the ladder, of Jacob's ladder, going up to heaven so that he can fulfill what he was called to do. He's going to the mercy seat and he's throwing his blood on the mercy seat. But there's a woman crying, a prostitute that arrests Jesus while he is busy with heavenly things, while he is taking his blood and going to the altar so that you can be saved. And she cries because Jesus is not there anymore. And before he puts his foot on that ladder, he hears a woman that took her glory and washed his feet, and she arrests him. And he comes to her and he says, Mary, Mary. And he comforts her. Her picture is on that wall of fame. Her picture is on that wall of fame. Because she gave up her glory to worship the King. And I want to end off with this. Mary was the one that broke the alabaster box. It wasn't Jesus. There is a death, and there is a smell of death that brings a presence and a dimension of his face. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to be so hungry that you will take your glory and wash his feet. That you will take your glory, your worship, that what is glorious to you, and give it unto the King. Being naked, stripped of anything that you ever wanted, stripped of your own passions, stripped of your own desires, stripped of your own ambitions, stripped of your own vision, stripped of your own dreams. Coming naked into the bedchamber saying that there is nothing left of me, but I'm taking my glory and I'm worshiping the King of Kings. And it's going to take some hungry people to become a Hall of Famer. Jesus, I pray that you will give us the courage to give it all up. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that everything about us will be hidden. And that we will have the courage to take our glory and to wash your feet, to dismantle the things that is important to us, the things that we are holding on to, the things that became an idol, the things that became an addiction, the hurt, the pain, the things that we are comfortable with. I pray in the name of Jesus, every memory that we are caught in, that keeps us from the bedchamber, that keeps us from intimacy, because we think that you are not going to pitch up. But you even pitched up 1,000 years after the prayer of Moses. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will give us an earnest desire for you. An earnest desire for you and for only you. Not for the anointing, but for your presence. I pray that your anointing will come upon us so that it will prepare us for death. And that when the enemy sees us, they will know that there is a dead man walking. That will be the banner that is over us, Jehovah Nissi. We worship you, we praise you, we honor you. I pray, Lord, that in this day that there will be a death and there will be a smell of death. To our flesh, it will smell horrible, but it will be an entrance into your chamber. As we lay ourselves down before you, we worship you, we praise you, we honor you. I pray that you will open a dimension for the people of Encounter Church. That when other people look at us, they will know that we have been with the King. That there will be his residue on us. That, Lord, that material matter that is in the spiritual will rub off on us. I pray this in the name of Jesus the Christ. We praise you, we worship you, we honor you.